Now, this is a big week for Brexit. Every week seems to be a big one, but this is like sharp edge stuff. The letter coming from the European Union this morning to the British government, spelling out a series of reassurances on the Irish backstop, for instance. Let me speak to a man who keeps his eye on this, always has done, Jamie DeLargy. Jamie, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
So put this week in context for us, please, Jamie.
Well, as you said, it's a major week. With the vote on Tuesday, we will see whether Theresa May's deal passes muster. I don't think anybody expects that it will. Then it's anybody's guess, if you like, what happens after that. We're waiting, of course, for this letter, and maybe I'm jumping the gun, because perhaps the letter from Brussels will sufficiently content people who are minded to vote against the deal to support it. But again, without knowing the contents of the letter, I don't think there's any real possibility that the EU can depart sufficiently from their existing position to reassure people, for instance, in the DUP and also the hardline Brexiteers on the backstop, that would make them change their minds. So there isn't just the scope for Brussels, if it sticks to its position, to offer anything that is going to significantly change the minds of people who are for Brexit but are unhappy with what Theresa May has secured in the form of the deal. Where we go from there, of course, if the deal gets voted down, I mean, Labour are going for a vote of no confidence, and then we will see. Perhaps there will be, and this is, I suppose, an expectation or a hope among a lot of people, that there won't be sufficient support for a no deal Brexit. So the deal gets voted down, the no deal gets voted down, and then people either go for an election with a view perhaps to having a second referendum, or perhaps just a second referendum separately from an election, because of course Labour haven't got the numbers to force a vote of no confidence through. I think ultimately what it's going to come down to is, and I'm really jumping all lots of steps ahead here, but that there will be an appeal to Brussels for an extension to the negotiations. But the reality is that we are headed for the door on the 29th of March, and unless the EU agrees to it, an extension of time, we're out. I don't think that's necessarily perceived by everybody. The EU doesn't have to agree an extension of the talking. There's nothing to stop the UK revoking Article 50. In other words, just pulling the whole Brexit plan off the table. They can do that without anybody's say-so. But they cannot get an extension of time. They cannot get the breathing time they need to have an election, to have a second referendum, without the approval of Brussels. And Brussels may well say, do you know what? We've had enough of this. We're not going to give you any more time. You've given you plenty of time. We'll give you a few weeks more just to ratify the deal that's on the table, but we are not going to give you another year of this, because what happens if you come back and start negotiating a new form of Brexit deal, which is going to take up all our time? We've done what we've going to do. We've offered you as much as you're going to get. If you don't like it, well, perhaps you'd be better just leaving, and there you are, 29th of March, you're out, because we're not going to agree to let you talk more.
So where are the DUP in all of this? They're going to vote against Theresa May's deal. They're not going to bring the government down, because they don't want Jeremy Corbyn to get a sniff of getting into number 10. Are they playing a game whereby hard Brexit is the option for them come the 29th?
But you see, this is where I feel a complete loss of confidence in voting and indicating anything that the politicians are going to do, because none of it makes sense to me. There is no chance of a no deal. I mean, people are confidently saying Theresa May doesn't have the numbers to get through her deal. Absolutely, it's not going to happen. And then the sort of hardliner saying, but, you know, a no deal isn't the worst outcome. And you think, well, that's not going to happen because there's no majority in the House of Commons for a no deal. So it's definitely not going to happen. So then if you don't have a deal to get us out of, a Brexit deal and a no deal Brexit, then you've no Brexit at all. And I thought the DUP wanted Brexit. So I'm not quite sure what they expect, and indeed the hardliners and Brexiteers expect. There is no chance that we will go back to Brussels, and assuming they give us the time to renegotiate. But there's no chance of them giving anything significantly different from what's on the table. So we have a second, you know, we have a general election. Labour get in, they go back, they stick with the spirit of the referendum in 2016, and they go back and they start negotiating, and the EU says, well, there you are, that's pretty much what Theresa May got, and that's what we're giving you, and then the whole carry-on starts all over again.
Okay, well, let me stop you there for a second, and I'll allow you to listen in to who I'm going to be speaking to, and indeed at the end feel free to ask any relevant question that is linked to what you've just said, Jimmy, because you're saying you're not prepared to predict what politicians are going to do, and you feel somewhat miffed as to what the DUP are doing. Let me speak to the DUP's representative, Gregory Campbell. Gregory, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
So, Gregory, you're not going to vote for Theresa May's deal, and you're not going to take any action that would allow Jeremy Corbyn to get next or near Downing Street. What is your next move?
Well, I think Jimmy is right. I didn't hear all of his response there, but he's right. If the summary is that you cannot make a prediction about what will happen next, that's for sure. The debate will conclude today and tomorrow. The vote will be taken tomorrow night. Our view remains unchanged and will remain unchanged unless the deal and the text is changed, and that's not likely to happen. So if the vote is to reject the draft withdrawal agreement, then according to what Parliament passed 2 weeks ago, the Prime Minister has to come back within 3 days. She comes back within 3 days, and who knows what she will say or do. But at that stage, we would then have to look and see what the Labour Party are going to do, because they have said they will table a motion of no confidence, but they haven't said when they will do it. So one presumes they will wait to see the colour of her money on this day week, which is 3 days after the vote. And then we have to assess where we are at that stage. That's unfortunately the very vague concept of where we're going to be within the next 7 days.
It's particularly worrying that everything is so vague, however, because, you know, there's a lot of politics being played by a lot of people, not least by the DUP, but everyone's playing politics who's involved in this political game. And they're playing politics with our futures, our youngsters' futures, our elderly's futures, my futures, you know, your own future.
Yes, well, you see, our view has been all along that there is the appearance of certainty and stability within the EU. That's, in essence, what you've seen over the past couple of months. The mainstream establishment that are for Remain have projected the future as being uncertain outside the mothership of the EU. The stormy water's blowing, and we're a small, independent nation state that really hasn't got much future. When you look, and I've said this in your program before, Frank, when you look at the state of the EU in the past 12 months and look ahead what is likely to be the state of it in the next 12 months, you can see that the mothership EU is not in good shape, and it is going to be buffeted by very, very strong winds in the next few months. So there is uncertainty inside the EU, and there's uncertainty outside it. Now, it's our view that we have to push to get a very strong, much better deal than what we've got from Theresa May at the moment. If we can't get that, we have to go to the EU and say, well, let's just take our time here now, because you've EU parliamentary elections 2 months after we leave. Let's see what that brings, and let's see what sort of headwinds are faced by the EU at that stage. And it may be the case that your negotiations with us will have to take a much more urgent priority because of what you're going to be facing further down the road. And these things are all going to have to be faced, whether or not we take a decision for Theresa May's deal or inside the EU, a second referendum or a no deal. All of those are going to mean uncertainties.
What needs to be in this letter from the EU today about the backstop?
Well, we're getting some readout on what's in it, and it's nothing new, which is what we said all along. You know, the Prime Minister had assured us that, you know, there would be certain legal changes and that would appear there's not going to be. What the letter needs to say is, at the 11th hour, the EU realises there is no need for a backstop because a hard border is an impossibility. It can't happen, as I told Simon Coveney last week. It's whatever about people might want to put in place and how they might want to regulate international trade, the one thing that cannot be done to do that is to put a hard border. That was tried for 30 years with 30,000 soldiers and couldn't be done. So what makes anybody think a few border guards are going to be able to do it? It's totally impossible. It cannot be done. So it would need to discard and dismiss the need for a backstop. But from all we've been told, it's not going to have that. So therefore the deal must fall.
If it does drag on, and you mentioned the European elections to the European Parliament in 2 months, is there a possibility in your head that we could have candidates in that?
There is an outside possibility, and, you know, can you imagine what that would be like? Can you imagine canvassing for a European election after people had said in a nationwide referendum that they wanted to leave the institution that they've been asked to elect people to? As I understand it, the only way that could happen is if Article 50 was extended beyond July. And if that were the case, the legal opinion, as I understand it, is that parliamentary elections at the end of May and beginning of June throughout the 28 nation states would have to take place, including in the UK. Now, that would be preeminently a nonsense. It would defy logic for anyone to go through that whole process with the notion that you were then going to leave after doing it within a couple of months. So my suspicion is that they will want to try and avoid that at all costs.
Gregory Campbell, thank you very much for your time this morning. I know you're rushing to a meeting. Thank you for that. Jamie, listening to all of what Gregory Campbell is saying there, does he have a growing point in relation to the, as he says, the European mothership? You only have to look at France to realise just how much unrest there is there. Germany hasn't been the happiest place either, and other, of course, European countries have had their challenges as well.
Yeah, there is no doubt about it that, especially in some Eastern European countries, there is a lot of discontent with the way Brussels runs things, particularly in Hungary, but also in Poland. And they're at odds. I mean, we probably don't hear enough about that for everybody to get a fair understanding of what's going on. But so there is no doubt that among those countries in particular, but probably it extends to groups within other areas such as Austria, Germany itself. In Italy there are large groups who are very unhappy with Brussels, but there is no likely attempt by any country to leave the EU. We are unique in that respect. So it's one thing to say, but look, for God's sake, they're fighting with each other and they're arguing the toss. But that is not to suggest that anybody, any of those countries, is minded to leave the EU. We are in a particularly unusual situation. We've never really, as a country, and it's more a sort of a sentiment that applies across in England with the very EU-sceptical newspaper tabloids, that we've never ever felt that we really belonged within the EU. And now, you know, it's come to a head and we're trying to get out. That is not the same in Europe. Europe and the European countries, the continental countries that are there, want to stay. In fact, it's the opposite. Countries want to join the EU. So the notion that somehow that, and that there's been all this talk about the EU breaking up and that the whole thing's going to fall apart, it's all fantasy. It's fantasy on the part of of people who are opposed to it and want to leave in this country. The question I would like to have asked, Gregory, which is, what happens if the EU doesn't give you an extension? The EU doesn't have to give us an extension. The EU says, look, sorry, we've given you a deal. You're on your way out on the 29th of March. Make up your mind. It's no deal or Theresa May's deal. And what does Gregory do in those circumstances? There's an assumption that the EU is endlessly patient and will give us, 6 months, maybe a year, maybe even longer, and put up with all the carry-on that these negotiations have meant for them. And I don't know, that's a sensible assumption. It may well be the case that if the government comes back with a concrete plan, it would say, yes, okay, we'll give you a number of months to sort that out. But the idea that they'll say, assuming that there is no that the Theresa May's deal is voted down, and that anything she comes up with is voted down, and anything anybody else comes up with is voted down, that they're going to say, I tell you what, look, you go off and talk about it now. We'll hold everything. We'll put everything on ice for, not even just 6 months, just whatever time it takes. We'll leave everything as it is in the sort of chaotic limbo state while you make up your minds what you want. Have an election. Maybe that's not, maybe it turns out, and I don't think Jeremy Corbyn would get elected, you get a Conservative government back in, and then it's still split on what form of Brexit it wants. And they're saying, like, you take all that time. There's no problem. It's not causing us any annoyance for you to waste all this time, waste our time, divert our attention from other issues that we need to attend to. And we're perfectly happy with that. So there you go. You can assume that that's going to be the case.
Okay.
But being completely agreed with Gregory, nobody knows what's going to happen.
Okay, thank you very much, Jamie. Good morning, 0289 033 105. Just looking at some of the texts that are coming up here in relation to a conversation with Jamie DeLargy, also our chat with, indeed, Gregory Campbell. Frank, how can Jamie claim to predict the clear and certain future of the EU, that it will not break up, yet claim it is a nonsense when others predict a bright future for the UK outside the EU? This is biased journalism. He needs to be balanced and not tainted by his own personal pro-EU beliefs, says Keith in the Shadows. I should remind you actually here that Jamie DeLargy, when he appears on this programme, is appearing as a commentator. He's appearing as a commentator giving his personal opinion on where we are in relation to Brexit. He is not coming on as a journalist working for any specific broadcasting organisation. Jamie DeLargy is a retired gentleman who is freelance and who can say what he likes on the programme. Now, we have pro-Remain campaigners who are commentators, and we have indeed pro-Leave campaigners who are commentators on this programme from time to time. And Jamie has been very clear over the last couple of years that he did indeed vote to remain in the European Union. This one says, Jamie and his Ramoning views on what will happen tomorrow, it's as bad as your other expert, Malachy O'Doherty, says Orange Mick in Belfast. Mick, good morning to you. Do you know what I like about some of the sign-offs here is you sort of know where you stand with a man who calls himself Orange Mick. This one says, Jamie, the great Republican, spouting his anti-British dislike. Sure, we all know he wants a united Ireland, and as predicted, Frankie will let him spout on. So Jamie and I are both our Republicans now. I laugh. Jamie will get a laugh. I think that's the first time he's ever been accused of being a Republican. Right, 0289 033 105. As for me, of course, I'm accused of being everything from staunch loyalist right through to rabid Republican and everything in between.